Good morning. Good morning. Again, I want to thank Paul Craney for joining me from Mass Fiscal Alliance, the guardians of Proposition 2.5. My next caller has held on, and I really appreciate it, because he understands what it is to be on this side of the microphone and that side of the microphone. Another guardian of Proposition 2.5, Jim DuPont. Jimmy, how you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm doing fine, Chris. A very, very interesting discussion. It isn't what I called in to talk about, but you already know what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
They're barking up the wrong tree, telling the local government people to manage better or spend less.
Right.
We are funding. We've talked about this forever. When are we going to get off of the property tax? It's the primary source to fund local government. And the rhetorical question is, do we really expect to run modern 21st century local government on a tax scheme that goes back to the Middle Ages? So let me just give it to you straight, because when you talk to state legislators, and I've been through the morning, by the way, introducing myself to a few of them on this topic, they always basically say, tell me something I can put in a bill.
Right.
Okay, tell me what it is you'd like me to file for a bill that we can then vote on. And I would propose the following. One, freeze local property taxes at their current level. All right? And then increase them each following year by the arithmetic computation times 2.5. Number three, impose a transfer tax on property sales at the time they are bought and sold, because they all talk about full and fair market value, and that's what your tax bill is based on, the potential value.
Right.
Okay? They don't tax income that way. Chris McCarthy, if you had the potential to earn $500,000 and were asked to pay on it, you would probably say, I didn't earn $500,000.
Correct.
But is that not how we tax property? So I say, let's get off the property tax to fund local government and make local aid based on a fixed percentage of what came out of a city or town. Very simple. And call the Department of Revenue and ask them how much sales tax came out of New Bedford in the month of April. They'll tell you. They know.
Right, they know.
This isn't something that's hard to do. But then the state would then have to give up that revenue. At which, and I mean the millionaire's tax, which has become the billionaire's fund, the state has so much money. For them to be short funding, underfunding local aid is unconscionable. I don't know how they look their own selves in the mirror. They're making the cities and towns do their dirty work. When was the last time they voted to raise taxes? Okay, there you have it, Chris.
Thanks, Jim. I do appreciate it. Jim, of course, a member of the Rainham School Committee and a renaissance man, really a man who knows quite a bit about a lot of different topics and stands for election, and I appreciate that. So tonight, we've got many things on the city council. I don't know about you, but I've been having a hard time, and it could be on my end. I'm certainly open to that possibility, that my tablet is not able to get through to the internet at the city so I can watch these meetings. I wanted to watch the retirement board this morning at 8 o'clock. Isn't that nice? You can tell it's a retirement board, right? Because they're up moving early, having meetings at 8 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to watch it, but I couldn't because I couldn't get through to the video of the retirement board. They were carrying it live. But tonight, the city council has a written motion, or anyway, Brian Gomes has put forward a written motion requesting the city council send a certified letter, one that cannot be ignored, you understand, to the Office of the Inspector General for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, requesting that office conduct a forensic audit of the financial situation in the city of New Bedford that resulted in a reported surpluses turning into substantial deficits in the city's financial structure over a very short period of time, right? We got the announcement, official announcement. It was a letter to the city council. There was a $13 million surplus. That was in December of last year. And now here we are on the eve of June, the mayor saying, look, got a $32 million deficit. New Bedford Light has some articles about it. It's important stuff. And I'm wondering if they'll get enough votes to send that certified letter from the city council. Because remember, the city council hasn't been spectators here. They've been active members of the government, although part-time. They've got full-time staff, like the mayor. They got their own lawyer. There's 11 of them. And they have been taking votes that impact the budget. In opposite to the request of the mayor. So they're going to ask the inspector general to look at the whole situation. As I pointed out in the last hour, that will include, obviously, the votes of the city council. And are members of the city council willing to invite the inspector general down to criticize them as well as the mayor? Because the inspector general is a nonpartisan, non-political office. At least that's how they build themselves. They're going to come to the city of New Bedford at the invite of the city council, who are not spectators. They are active participants in all of these financial decisions. All 11 city councilors, they have their individual votes, right? We know that. But the body votes on the budget, and it votes on other things, like cost of living increases, salaries, all kinds of financial decisions for the city of New Bedford. So I'm wondering if Councilor Gomes, who's the dean of the council now, actually, I guess he's been that guy for a while, the longest serving member of that council for quite a while. I wonder if he can wrangle the votes of his colleagues to bring in an independent set of eyes who may, in fact, criticize not just the mayor and his financial team, but also the decisions of the city councilors, the inviter, of the inspector general. So that'll be very interesting to see how that vote turns out. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. There's a lot going on. We have a vote. We addressed it with Paul Craney for a new Old Colony Regional Technical High School that's going to take place in June. I don't have the date. It's going to require a vote of Mattapoisett, town of Acushnet, town of Lakeville, town of Rochester, the town of Carver. Are they going to vote to increase their own taxes? I'm curious. I know I got a lot of people from Acushnet listening, a lot of Rochester people, certainly a lot of Lakeville, Carver, Mattapoisett. I'm curious. Last time around, and I'm not sure they're doing it again, they had a calculator available at the Old Colony website where you could put in your community, the value of your home, and they'd calculate to you how much voting yes would raise your taxes. I thought that was a very fair way of giving people all the possible information, which I think is very important, obviously. And I know people are often criticized in the government in mostly unfair about concealing information, because most information is right out there. It really is. You just got to look for it, or you got to make an effort. And some people aren't willing to do that. And it's much more palatable to make an uninformed accusation, let's be honest. I certainly know that in talk radio. But here we are. If they are producing a calculator for people to figure out how much their taxes are going to go up in the towns of Mattapoisett, Rochester, Carver, Lakeville, and Acushnet. My understanding, Acushnet, sends the most students to Old Colony. So it's based on how many students you're sending, the value of your home. So you got to put your address in and the value of your home, and they'll give you an accurate figure how much your tax is going to go up. I know a lot of people, even whose children have graduated from the current Old Colony, told me, both here on the radio and in private, that they weren't willing to pay this additional cost. In one case, a close friend of mine who lives in Rochester told me that his property taxes would go up for the building, for the debt exclusion, by $900 more a year. Okay? $900 more a year. And he lives in a nice house, but he's certainly not, I don't think it's the nicest house in Rochester, although it's willing to compete. So he's not the only one going to pay. I mean, $900, that's a lot of money, particularly for 20 years. So I'm not sure, but if you live in the towns that are going to be faced with this decision, now keep in mind, the value of your home when you go to sell it, you'll likely sell it to people with children. And if they're the type of people that may consider sending their children to a regional vocational technical school, then the value of your home has more value to them. So maybe you'll get more money out of it. But I don't know. I don't know who you plan on selling your house to. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend. Quite a morning. Quite a morning this morning. But if I can, I'd like to change the conversation a little bit, a little lighter. I was impressed with Mike Minogue when he came on your program the other day. And I was impressed with the fact, I believe, that he said that if Sean Oliver would win the election for lieutenant governor, that he would work with him. And that's
I heard
good
the
thing.
Same thing. I agree
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, that was good to hear. And I hope if he loses, he's gracious. I hope if he wins, he goes through with what he said. It would be good to get someone from this area up in Boston, and at least, if not given a voice up there, have an ear as to what's going on and can tell people up there what we're like down here, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Now, I don't understand this. Maybe you can explain it to me. If Sean wins in the final election, and let's say Minogue won, and I'm going to vote for short sleeve. I believe in helping those who help you,
right.
Okay? But would their names appear as a partnership on the election, or would there be separate voting on that? I've voted many times, but I've never really noticed.
So my recollection, and I'm willing to be corrected, but I don't think I need to be, is that if Sean Oliver, as an example, wins the September primary vote by the voters, the one that you and I are going to participate in in September, if he wins that, and let's say Mike Minogue wins the governor's, okay? Mm-hmm. So then that ticket, by law, would be Minogue and Oliver. Same thing if Short Sleeve wins and Oliver wins. It'd be Short Sleeve Oliver, okay?
Okay, so again, in the final
it'll
election...
It'll appear, yes, as the ticket.
They'd appear as a joint vote, right? You won't be voting for Sean separately.
No.
And okay, all right. That's what I went through, and I hope people are listening and they follow along with this too, and get out there. I hope there's a strong showing in this area for the governor and lieutenant governor's position, especially with Sean being included up there if he can win the primary. And I wouldn't take anything for granted. With this, we've got a good chance down here of getting one of our own up there, and I hope people will get out there.
I think people will get out to vote. We've had the Bristol County has gravitated, like Plymouth County, to the Republican Party. And that includes a lot of, obviously, unenrolled voters and Democrats in the final who say, I like Senator Montigny, I like Senator Rodrick's, but I need a check with a governor, as a Republican.
Anybody but Healy. Let's face it. Anybody but Healy. She's shown her stuff. But again, you know, I hope people get out there. And again, how do those Democrats? I know I'm an unenrolled, so I can just go there and pick up a ballot and, you know, get the Republican ballot, vote Republican, and then I'm put back on. But how do the Democrats get to vote for?
Yeah. So they got to think early. In other words, like today or the next couple of days, because otherwise people forget. You've got it. You can go on the Secretary of State's website, or you can go right to City Hall or Town Hall and go in and say, I know I'm, you know, my name and I know I'm a Democrat, but I'd like to become an unenrolled voter so I can vote in the Republican primary or the Democrat primary, whatever you decide.
And what's the last state they have to do that? Do you know?
I do not know, but they should not wait. They should do it this month.
Yes, no question. No question. They shouldn't wait, you know. And especially Democrats, unenrolled, Democrats are going to play an important part, and I think who gets elected. If we want to have a check on the Democratic majority in the legislature, you got to have a Republican governor. I think Charlie Baker should have proven that to people.
Yeah, Charlie Baker. Thanks for the call, my friend. Charlie Baker should have proved it to you. Mitt Romney, Bill Weld, Paul Cellucci. And this, having a state treasurer is very valuable, too. We've got a very good candidate running for state treasurer. She came down, spent time with us at Honeydew Donuts, then went over to Inner Bay for lunch. Really engaging, professional woman. Selectman from Belmont. She's running for the Republic, because that was really good under Joe Malone, at least for the last month. 508-996-0400. We have Leo Choquette on the VIP line, and I'm happy to have that. We're going to take Leo's phone call, and if you're on hold for the other lines, certainly stay there. We're going to take a brief break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Bought a boat called the Anchorman. And there ain't no bad news, only good views. The sky and the water.
Welcome back to the program, because that's Billy Currington's new song, Anchorman, written by my previous guest, Paul Overstreet. Check it out, Anchorman by Billy Currington. It's a great song, nautical song, and download it. Check out Spotify. That's where I download all Paul Overstreet songs. Turn your junk car into cash today at Mid-City Scrap in Westport. We pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Listen to this. Small car, get $400 to $500. Mid to large size car, $500 to $600. SUV, up to $700. Full size trucks, up to $800 in cash. And you clean up your yard, right? Make your wife and your neighbors happy. Get cash for full size trucks. No games, no waiting, just fast cash. Very simple. Call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. Again, call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. Mid-City Scrap, cash for junk cars, State Road in Westport. We're now joined by a man looking for cash in his own city budget, Leo Choquette. Good morning, Councilor Leo. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? How's everybody doing? I'm in between client appointments, so I got about 3 minutes. I just wanted to quickly say that, you know, I will be voting yes and supporting Councilor Gomes' motion tonight, requesting the Inspector General come in and look at the books. You know, I think it's one of Councilor Gomes' best moments since I've been a city council and served with him. So I'm glad he's doing it. I support him, you know. In my private job, you know, I'm a wealth manager, so I have to make people money. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, if I couldn't account or balance $45 million, you know, or 32, but, you know, it's gone from 13 million positive to now 32 million. You know, I can't just go and close a fire station and raise everyone's taxes to make up the difference.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's what you're probably going to have to end up doing.
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, I want to know what's going on. Things don't add up. And, you know, I have to contain my comments because I am obviously very frustrated and very upset with the mayor and the mayor's office.
But he's put all the numbers right in front of you guys as a city council year after year. You can't see the cause of the deficit?
Not systematically. I mean, it's not just one thing or the other.
Like, no, I get that.
We went from $13 million, right? Was it 5 months ago? Now we're at $32 million negative.
Right.
So, you know, you don't balance a budget by hurting 30,000 people in public safety and then saying you're going to raise taxes on everybody. And if that's the case, then maybe you need to say to yourself, well, I had a good run for 15 years, but I've peaked, and now it's time for someone else to take the reins. And with that, I'll let you go. I got to get in on this appointment, but thank you, Chris.
All right. Leo Choquette, Ward 1 City Councilor, drops a challenge, but I recognize he's got a private sector schedule. But what he said at the end, if you didn't understand it, was maybe it's time for Mayor Mitchell to move on. But of course, for who? Is Leo thinking about running for mayor? I mean, that sounded like Leo Choquette is flirting with a run for mayor of New Bedford. That's very interesting. The timing might be perfect. Might be perfectly incorrect. Who knows? But it really sounded like what Leo Choquette just said. Mayor Mitchell, maybe you should pass the reins to me. But that takes the voters to do that. And first of all, Leo would have to announce that he's going to run for mayor. But that sounded a lot like what he just said. Very, very interesting. 508-996-0. That's the beauty of talk radio. We got people on hold. Kind of open phones, guys. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
We're listening to this discussion of the vocational school.
Yes.
Of possible vocational school. I'd like to ask one question and get one answer. If they do this and build this school with all this fancy stuff, will the student get a better education? No. Will the student be any warmer? No. Will the rooms be any brighter? No. This is just something that somebody's going to prove they're going to get their way and do what they want. People, be smart. You're not going to help the students. You're not going to help the community. This is just a push, push, push for our agenda. I taught for 25 years, and I don't see how that's ever going to help it. Prove to me you're going to get a better student by doing that, then I'll take it back. Have a good day.
Thank you for the call, my friend. 508-996-0500. We got a lot of topics on the table. Obviously, the city budget has been dominating the conversation, but now the redo of the vote to raise your taxes to build a new regional vocational school, Old Colony. This will take place in June. After you guys in June last year voted it down, you're going to see the vote again in Mattapoisett, Acushnet, Rochester, Lakeville, and Carver. Those communities are going to be asked again if they want to raise their taxes. For I would imagine, I don't have it at the top of my head, but I would imagine, you know, it's about 20 to 25 years, maybe 30 years on the bonds. I don't know exactly, but it's temporary if you figure a couple of decades is temporary. Okay, 508-996-0. We're running with whatever you want to talk about here on the program. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
As far as the budget goes.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't the city council have access to this budget at any time?
Yeah.
Don't they approve certain things in the budget throughout the year? They voted last year's budget and they were saying that something was cut from the school department. I've been trying to find out what that was cut, $4 million from the school department. Could not find it. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting the inspector general coming down. This is all sounding like somebody's trying to rile up the troops to get somebody else in. And I'm not saying all the city councils are for this, but it sounds like there is a few that want to get the mayor out to put their own person. Again, could it be the Shane Denistas? Maybe. But then again, they all have access to the budget. They all ask questions. This is sounding more and more like Fall River is right now, how everybody thinks that they're right. They want to do, I forgot what they wanted to vote in Fall River. Anything that that Coogan put through, they were knocking it down. The fault lies at everyone's feet. Stop blaming one person. You guys all have access to the records. You guys all have access to anything. You guys all can call different department heads. Stop blaming one person. And then they also approved for the retirement people, like the mayor said yesterday, about a month ago, they approved that hike up to be to today's cost of living wages for the retirees, I believe. Why doesn't, if what's his name? Gomes is going to be calling in for the attorney general to come in or inspector general to come in. What about the money that he got given to him that he hasn't returned yet? Why don't we check into that also while we're at it? I'm sick and tired of blaming one person. Blame everybody, including you, Chris. Even though you live in Bay Haven,
I get it. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for the call and thanks for the laughs. Now, obviously, I'm a spectator. I'm a legitimate spectator, commentator, spectator. I refuse to take any blame. But the gentleman is correct, and I've been saying this, that some of these city councilors act like spectators, like they haven't been voting for budgets. And when you invite the inspector general in, I'm all for it, I guess. It's more material for me. It serves my purpose. But I wonder if, other than Leo, Brian Gomes will get enough city councilors to support that, recognizing that he's going to come in, or his inspectors are going to come in and look at everybody who's in the decision-making role, including the 11 city councilors, and make a report that points at what really happened, and they may, because they're decision makers, be culpable. Certainly the mayor has pointed out where they've deviated from his master plan to get the finances in order. He can point to a number of significant votes where they've deviated from the mayor's plan, which is their right, but they've got the responsibility for the results, right? This is, after all, the real world. 508-996-0500. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House, right in downtown New Bedford. Again, it's almost noontime. In fact, it's past noon if you're in the Cayman Islands, although Lenny has returned. It's a beautiful day to sit on the deck, have an ice cold beer or a mixed drink at Rose Alley and have some chicken wings, right? Oh, by the way, onion rings, too. They've got real onion rings at Rose Alley Ale House, and I'll let you in on a little secret of mine. It's not a secret. It's a fact. I cannot, and think about this, I'm an Irishman by ethnicity, American of Irish descent. You know, you've all heard the jokes how important potatoes are to the Irish. I am not allowed to consume potatoes anymore because of my kidney disease. So I cannot really eat French fries. I mean, sometimes I really do, but only a couple of them. And who can only eat a couple of fries? So when I go to Rose Alley, which is frequent, I'll get a hamburger, maybe steak tips, chicken wings. And rather than French fries, although they are amazing there, I'll get onion rings. And I love them. They have real onion rings there. And so when you go to Rose Alley, for the table, order a basket of onion rings too. For you and your friends, nothing better than sipping cold beer and eating onion rings. Except eating onion rings with a hamburger and cold beer and chicken wings and all those other great stuff that's available at Rose Alley, including some mistakes you could make. Not cuisine-wise, but maybe recreationally, you can make some mistakes. Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Driving down the interstate, running 30 minutes late, singing Margaritaville and minding my own. Some foreign car driving dude with a road rage attitude pulled up beside me talking on his cell phone. He started yelling at me like I did something wrong. He flipped me the bird and then he was gone someday.
Welcome back to the program. Another Paul Overstreet song. Of course, Paul was here earlier in the week, and thanks to Lenny Mills, who was down with him in the Cayman Islands. Lenny's back now. Rehoboth, you can wake up now. The boss is home. Well, he's got four other bosses, too, over there. But Lenny Mills is back. He'll be in with us tomorrow here in Surrey. So will Tom Hodgson. We've got a lot of issues on the table. All of them you're welcome to comment on. We got people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I heard you talking earlier about the city councilman and the shutting down of the fire station.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm thinking that if they shut that fire station down, property values would fall, right?
I would think so. Or insurance will go up.
There's a lot of wise and pound foolish about shutting down a fire station.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Thank you. I would say that people's insurance. Look, I'm not an insurance guy, but there's certainly many of you out there in the audience who are. I would imagine that if fire coverage is significantly reduced, and that's a question that's out there, right? Is it going to be significantly reduced? Response time and the effectiveness of the remaining fire department members, if their effectiveness and is reduced, insurance prices are going to respond. That's how it works. So the real debate is, because there are options. There are options. And again, many of the city council members are out there basking politically in the spotlight by standing with everybody's heroes, the firefighters, trying to get some of their goodwill onto them. The mayor is saying, I don't have to cut a firehouse, but I don't have to reduce Station 9 if the firefighters union will agree to reducing the number of firefighters per apparatus. I've been debating this in my head, talking about it with as many people as I can. I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, having less firefighters on the scene is not good, is less than adequate or less than ideal. But if you can't afford ideal, you can't afford it. In other words, if the city of New Bedford, due to pension costs, healthcare costs, general government costs, cannot afford to have four firefighters, is three firefighters per apparatus adequate? I don't know. I really don't know. How would I know? I listen to the experts, the firefighters. I listen to the mayor, who's got the chief telling him what's adequate, what they can afford, what they can do. And he's got to look at the whole city, and he's trying to account for all the expenses, not just the fire department, although it's crucial, right? Why would you want to live in a city that doesn't have adequate fire protection? I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. But do you see anybody else in the current decision-making hierarchy of the city council that you believe honestly in your bones could be a better mayor than the current mayor? Really, I mean, that is kind of what we're talking about, because this is the mayor and he's going to have a re-election should he decide to stand for it next November. Well, it'll be September. They'll have the preliminary, right? Do you see anybody in that city council who you would trust with the keys to the city over the current mayor? Do you? It's not a character flaw or a knock to say somebody's not ready to be the mayor or capable of being the mayor. I got to tell you something. That's an incredibly difficult job. Incredibly difficult. To be the mayor of the city, any city, but particularly the city of New Bedford in this time. And I don't see anybody really at this time willing to step forward to be the mayor who I think could do the job. I do not think it would be in Shane Burgos' best interest, and certainly not in the interest of the taxpayers of the city of New Bedford, to elect Shane Burgos mayor of the city of New Bedford. I do not think, as much as he craves that power, that would be in Shane Burgos' best interest. I really don't. I don't think the man could do the job. I really don't. And that's, a lot of people can't do that job. And he's among them. He could not be the mayor of the city of New Bedford. He could come up with a couple of good one lines and shriek at the top of his lungs as an emotional outburst to a complicated problem. But that's not leadership. It's theater. And he's a marvelous performer, great singer, tremendous ability to put on a show, throw a tantrum. But he's not the guy, intellectually or experience or education, to take over from John Mitchell. And although he's the only one among that body that seems to be moving forward in trying to run for city council, although his fundraising hasn't increased. So is he really? I don't know. Are there other people in that council that someday could be mayor if they really started getting serious about it and getting involved in the day-to-day operations of the city, which they have the right to as a city councilor, to bring more information to the table, highlight different points of information for their colleagues, to build momentum behind, to show leadership? Certainly, they're in the right position to exert themselves in questions of public policy. But I don't see any of them doing it, really. The only one I see doing it is Sean Oliver, and that is on the statewide level, right? Sean has, while still a city councilor, I think those of us that appreciate Sean and recognize his leadership abilities have to recognize that he's likely moving on, right? He's not going to be around the city council much longer. Not in January. I don't think so. I think Sean Oliver is likely to be on the ticket to be the lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth. And I think whoever gets that nomination from the Republican Party is going to be the next governor. And Sean is one of the few people on the ballot. If you're not on the ballot, you're not a political candidate. So I know that Ann Brensley thinks she's going to be a political candidate, but she's not. She didn't get on the ballot. Sean Oliver got on the ballot. I don't know about the city council from Peabody. They're being a little coy with that, which indicates to me they're probably not on the ballot, but I'm willing to be surprised. I think your only candidate is going to be Sean Oliver, which means goodbye, well, he'll still live in Ward 3, but goodbye, city of New Bedford, he's going to be the lieutenant governor. So, Sean Oliver who has shown tremendous, in my opinion, leadership skills on a day-to-day basis in that city council, even if his colleagues have rejected it, what he's offered sometimes when it was most important. But Sean Oliva is on for thornier pastures, right? Statewide office. So, Sean, you really can't count on him to be a candidate for mayor. Why would he leave the lieutenant governor's office to be the mayor of New Bedford? Maybe, but I don't think so. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Doing it to country songs. I like doing it.
Welcome back to the program. That's Blake Shelton, another Paul Overstreet song. Actually, that song's really big right now in Texas. Doesn't surprise me. But I bet you we'll be hearing it all summer long. You can hear it by going to Spotify and downloading that song, Blake Shelton, doing it to country songs. But Paul Overstreet, my guest from previous days in the week, was the author of that song, along with a ton of other real country songs. So May this month is Military Appreciation Month. Maybe it's June. Anyway, this month we honor the brave men and women who served our country. During Military Appreciation Month, we thank you and all the active duty service members, veterans, and military families for their courage and sacrifice. From all of us at WBSM, thank you for your service. Military Appreciation Month on WBSM is proudly brought to you by Leach Auto Body. We thank the folks at Leach Auto Body for joining in with Military Appreciation Month. So, we're going to have a Prop 2.5 override vote here in Fairhaven. Apparently, you're going to have another one in Mattapoisett, Acushnet. Acushnet's going to have the biggest impact on their own tax bills should they vote to override Prop 2.5 to build a new old colony. One of the other callers, a previous school teacher, said, will a new building make more educated students? It's a great question. That's really the only question, isn't it? Now, it's a vocational school. Should it be built? And it'll take the vote of the people of Lakeville, Rochester, Acushnet, Mattapoisett, and the town of Carver to agree to raise taxes for the period of about 20 or 30 years in those towns to build this new school. Now, with a vocational school, the physical building is very important. But as Paul Craney from the Mass Fiscal Alliance pointed out, and you can check out more at massfiscalalliance.org, they are building this building with the Green New Deal in mind. It is a homage to Green New Deal Democrats. It's got all the latest in green new mandates in that school building that are not required, except they satisfy Governor Healey. So you could, I'm just saying you could do this. You could reject this override to build a new vocational school called Old Colony. And revisit the issue one more time. This is your second visit at it. You rejected it the first time. You could reject it a second time and hope the third time, as Paul Craney explained, could be the charm. In other words, they strip out all the socialist Green New Deal type material from the design and the build. Just make a real school, right? A real school with real air conditioning and real heating systems based on tried and true fossil fuels. And start over under a different governor, under different building codes, under a different administration that doesn't have to adhere to the Green New Deal type policies, right? Because those can be swept right away with a Governor Shortsleeve or a Governor Minogue. So I'm not sure that you should vote in favor of building this school. Maybe it's better, but it's up to you. I'm not voting in that election, and I don't have your same responsibilities or commitments. But you might want to consider that the third time, which you get to by rejecting the second time, could be the charm, right? Could be the most responsible building for the students and the tax-paying parents, right? Okay. If you're on hold, I see you there, but I got to go. I'm out of here. I've got to have you stick around for Barry. He's coming up next. Then Howie Carr. I'm going to go across the street, get all my blood taken out, cleansed and put back in my body. And God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Lenny Mills will be in. Tom Hodgson will be in. We're going to have a great, great